pa de 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 pa 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 boobity pa 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 de 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 pa pa bity pa bity pa pa pa. Hey everybody! Yes, this is live from Harlem, and this is the Ramble with me. I'm Alex Bennett.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Larry Bubbles Brown. Well, it's always time for Larry Bubbles Brown. Hi, Larry.
Can't get enough.
Yeah, here he is with the traffic.
There's a woman on 101 giving birth. Push, whore. Remember that one?
Yeah, you know something? I got to tell you. The one thing people never look forward to traffic reports, okay? They just a fact of life on morning radio, right?
Mm-hmm.
They looked forward to yours because they never knew what to expect.
Yeah, we had sound effects and stupid characters. It was hilarious.
Huh? Yeah, yeah. And that was his traffic report. It was because he was hired to do the traffic reports by, the company?
Metro. Was it Metro Traffic?
Metro Traffic. He was actually being paid by Metro Traffic and not by the radio station. And so he had to just do the weather for Live 105 in the morning. And he was just, the most, what's the word I'm looking for? Well, you certainly...
It was a perfect fit for me, I thought.
It wasn't a conventional traffic report.
Yeah, we did them every half hour, so we'd do like 6 in the morning.
We had a catchphrase, park it, whore.
Park it, whore, yeah.
Yeah.
For everyone that was stalled in traffic, it was park it, whore.
Yeah, yeah. It was a lot of, we had a lot of fun with that. That was a lot of fun. You were a great traffic reporter.
That was that was the most fun I ever had in entertainment business.
It was a regular job, too. Did they pay you a lot? They didn't pay a lot, did they?
They didn't pay a lot, no. And then the station started to give me a little more, but...
Yeah. But was that before or after you lost the Kaiser?
That was the Kaiser.
Kaiser's a hospital out in California, and his line was, tell him, this is brought to you by Kaiser.
They had a phrase for Kaiser. Their ad was, Kaiser, we're different from the ground up, and I tagged it with, because that's where most of our patients are. And then I've got the fact from Pat McNally. It said, pull all Kaiser ads immediately with five exclamation points.
Didn't you also say Kaiser, also known as doctor assistant?
Doctor assistant. That was my act. Got the doctor.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I love that line. This is perfect.
So, yeah, I guess Kaiser didn't have a sense of humor about themselves.
Well, they should have, because that was the reason why we kidded our advertisers.
Jack Benny did that, didn't
he?
Well,
the smart ones realized, okay, that if we were giving them a bad time or kidding them or whatever, that and they didn't complain, they had a good sense of humor, and therefore they people liked them for that.
It made the ads more effective.
More effective. I mean, I used to do things for the Vermont Teddy Bear. I said, get your girlfriend a Vermont Teddy Bear. The best way to say, I'm sorry I had sex with your girlfriend. And they loved it. It sold teddy bears, and that's all they cared about. But it got to be kind of something else, with some of these advertisers would get bothered by what you did, and they actually should have just laughed at it and laughed with it and realized that it made them look like good guys.
Yeah. I think Kaiser was the only one that complained. So.
Were they the only one that complained? Did I ever have anybody complain? Not really. Not really. I had some flower companies that would sponsor us, and I would...
There was a bed place, brass...
Brass and Glass, I think it was called, right?
Yeah, well, they were over in Berkeley, I think.
Yeah, I don't know what they sold. They were called Brass and Glass. I guess they sold Brass and Glass.
But you did a lot of commercials for them.
Yeah, and I would kid them like crazy, you know. Brass and glass, what does it rhyme with? You know, things like that, you know. But,
yeah,
you know, what happened years ago with Dana, your friend, you know, your mm-hmm. your employer, Dana Carvey, he had the Dana Carvey show. And people can see this on, I think it's Hulu. They have a whole documentary about the creation and the life and death of his TV show. And there's some brilliant stuff in it. And one of the most brilliant things he ever did was he had Mountain Dew as an advertiser. And they would do a live commercial for whoever was sponsoring the show that week. And the ad for Mountain Dew was, he's sitting there with a guy, and he's showing him a glass of Mountain Dew. He says, "What does that look like?" The guy says, "Refreshment in a glass?" He says, "No, what does it really look like?" And that was the whole ad, trying to tell the guy, "Come on, tell me, what is it? Looks like something else. It doesn't, you know." And what else is Mountain, what else does Mountain Dew look like than pee, okay? So it was hilarious. Mountain Dew didn't find it hilarious, you know. So next week it was another advertiser, and they went after all of them. And the thing is, you kid an advertiser, and the advertiser comes out looking good, not bad.
Well, it's a shame they didn't try that show in a different time spot or something.
I don't know if in any other time spot it would have been popular either, because it wasn't what everybody expected out of...
Well, it was very dark for Dana, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't expect this out of Dana, and he had people writing that show like... who's the guy who lost his show because he showed his penis?
Colbert and C.K., I think, wrote
Louis
on there.
Louis C.K.'s in there, and Colbert. What's his name, the other guy who got a lot of movies?
And I was on the verge of getting a writing job there. So.
Yeah. It was Louis C.K. headed up the writing staff. And I think, who was the big movie director?
Steve Carell.
Well, Steve Carell was in it, but also the big movie director, you know, who did a lot of those films that people kind of love, like what was it? Oh, God, my memory's all shot. But there was a Steve Carell movie that this guy directed.
Was it Apatow?
Apatow. Also was working on that show. I mean...
I didn't know that. Wow.
Brilliant people. And the stuff they did was brilliant. It was just a brilliant mm-hmm. show. But nobody expected that out of Dana. They expected the church lady and Hans and Franz, you know, and stuff like that. And that wasn't what they were going to do. And, I mean, the funniest thing ever on that show is Carell and Colbert as the two waiters who can't stand the sight of food. And they're sitting there reading the menu and starting to dry heave. Yeah, it's one of the funniest things you'll ever see, literally.
I got to watch this thing.
But this is, you know, this is not the show that they expected out of Dana. And so it only lasted, I think the last episode never even ran.
Yeah, I think it lasted a couple of months, right?
They were so anxious to get it off. They didn't run the last episode.
You know. Wow.
So, but the last episode, on Hulu, they're also running all the episodes of the show. And the last episode is running full, so people can watch it. You know. But I that was really brave. And I think if Dana had done that today, and it had been on like one of the streaming services, it'd be a sensation. You know, but
it probably would, yeah.
But I mean, he did right. He did really good. You know, if he should ever be remembered for anything, it's that show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, I never ask you this. So what do you think about what's happening in the news?
There's so much I can't keep up with it.
Political comic Larry Bubbles Brown.
Political comic.
Yeah.
Oh, you talk about the talk shows going under?
The what?
Late night shows going under? Colbert and Kimmel and...
Oh, yeah. They're all going under.
Well, I read Esquire had a story about, God, it was over 10 years ago, that they thought talk shows were dead then, that they'd run their course. And
the late night talk shows?
Right.
I think they were kind of right. I think once Letterman got out of the business, it was over.
That was it,
It was over. Because Fallon wasn't very funny. Fallon's not great. Fallon doesn't run your traditional. The only guy running a traditional late-night talk show is Kimmel. Kimmel is pretty much, he grew up idolizing Letterman. So everything about his show is understanding what his late-night has to be. And so I think Kimmel's the closest thing to a good late-night show. We watch his monologue every night. Because it's really good. And it also puts down Trump like crazy, but.
But these shows have, their audiences are so small now compared to what... Fallon has close to 1 million viewers. Johnny Carson had 17 to 20.
I don't know that it was that high, but it was much higher. It was much higher. Also... Carson was the only game in town at that point. Now there's
three channels then.
But now there are three games in town. You got Colbert, you got Kimmel, and you got Fallon. And the late night CBS kind of went away from doing a talk show after that show. The problem is, I'll tell you what I found out from Shecky while he was still alive, because I don't find out much from Shecky anymore, was that... They would always plan the show so that the first guest came on just before midnight. And the reason they did that was because they wanted him to get the maximum audience. Because after that, the audience started to disappear. Why? People got to go to sleep and get up the next morning.
Yeah, and they'd always put the comic on like at... 1:20 in the morning.
You'd be in the last thing on the show. Yeah.
They said the audience was so much smaller by the time the comic went on.
Well, when you went on, you were on the late show with David Letterman. Late night over at NBC, and then you were at the late show over at CBS. But you were on late night, and by the time you did your act at, 1:20 in the morning?
About 1:20 in the morning.
There was nobody watching television.
No.
So unless they made it, in those days you had to record it, unless they recorded it, they never saw you.
Right.
I don't know, but you always put your best act on before midnight. Because at midnight you start losing audience. So that was always the case, but what you were losing it from, say, 5 million people, and now you're losing it from 2 million people.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the old days with Letterman, even Letterman, when he was number two, he still had a good-sized audience, good enough that CBS made a fortune out of him.
Yeah.
And I never could understand why Leno was number one. Never could understand it. Never made any sense to me. Because I don't find Leno a very funny human being.
Well, he was a great comic.
Great comic, great stand-up.
And very edgy until he got the Tonight Show.
Right. Well, I remember Feldman and I went down to the Frost Amphitheater where Leno was playing. And we watched him do his act. And we were just in awe of him.
Killer.
He would start off, the first 20 minutes of his act was all new material. It was all, what's happening in the news and this thing and that thing, and it was all very contemporary. And then as he went on, he would slowly move into his act. Mm-hmm. And it was so beautifully structured, we just sat there and we were in awe of it. As a stand-up, probably the best. Seinfeld maybe being in that same category. you know. But outside of that, he was terrific. But then he did The Tonight Show, and who cared? He wasn't good at that.
Well, remember, what was it that there was any, he had a guest that caused him to move ahead of Letterman in the ratings?
Yes, Hugh Grant, when he got the blowjob.
Hugh Grant, yes. Mm-hmm. And what was the hooker's name?
I forget her name now. I interviewed her. She said, you know what she said why he got arrested? Is because the police drove by and they couldn't believe what they were seeing. And what they were seeing was the lights, the tail lights.
He kept, flashing, he kept tapping the brake light.
Flashing on and off. You remember the interview I did with her?
Yeah.
He was tapping on, he was, because he was getting a BJ. He was tapping the brake with his foot. And the lights were going on and off, and the cops went, what's going on there? You know, is somebody having a stroke? Well, kind of a stroke.
I can't remember her name.
I don't remember anything. But one day I will wake up in the middle of the night since you asked me, and I'll remember her name.
And it'll pop out.
Well, wait a minute. I could, let me say, Hooker,
it wasn't Brown,
Hooker, Hugh Grant. I'll bet it comes right up. Grant. Okay. Hooker, Hugh Grant. Okay. Let's see what comes up. Hugh Grant's wives. What happened between Liz Hurley and his Lou Graham Grumpy and life? Divine Brown? Divine Brown.
Okay.
See? You can find anything these days.
And that was that 94?
I didn't look.
Okay.
But probably you're right. You know. But he had Hugh Grant on right after that incident. And from then on.
And that got a huge audience.
Huge audience. From then on, Jay Leno was number one.
From then on, he had the lead.
Due credit to Letterman, who was, you go back and you watch some of those Letterman shows, man, and he was great. He was especially great on late night over at NBC. Those shows were magnificent.
Yeah, I thought those were better than CBS.
Well, CBS became more professional, okay? But he was still good. I mean, he could still sit there and talk about something for like 20 minutes and you'd be riveted watching him. You know, but he wasn't as good as over at NBC. But and even Shecky used to admit that.
Okay.
Even though he made the most of his money on that show on CBS. Anyway, the point is that he was. I never could understand why Leno did that well. But after that show, he was number one. So to Letterman's credit. There was a big, giant billboard on Broadway that kind of almost faced his theater, the Letterman Theater. It said, Jay Leno, number one in late night. So Letterman paid to have a giant poster or, you know, it's like these billboards they paint on the side of buildings, you know, that said, David Letterman, number three in late night. But, I mean, it was, you know, it didn't matter because he was making so much money for CBS. They'd never made money in that slot before. And it's a little history that they don't remember now, you know?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Who did they? They tried Pat Sajak.
I'll tell you, Sajak had a chance. He had a shot. But he didn't take it. Cause you,
that's right. He's funny, and he had a broadcast background. I thought he'd do well.
Were you ever there when I had Sajak and Vanna White on the show?
No.
Okay. He came on the show. He was so crusty. His humor was so absolutely cutting. Okay?
Really?
But I went, this guy should do late night. You know, this is the guy to do late night. So when he got that show, I figured he would go on and be that way. But he chose to be nice.
And he toned it down.
He chose to be nice. And if he'd just not been nice, he would have been a success. He would have started beating Carson. He was really good at that. He kind of reminded me in a way of Jack Parr. He had that kind of Jack Parr look. And he, I think, probably grew up listening to Jack Parr, and he kind of had that style. But he, when he went to CBS, he just went, I gotta be nice so they don't fire me. You know, and that's, you know, that's not the way you go in. You go in like Dana with guns blazing, and if you lose, you lose.
Right.
But you did it your way. And you can never feel guilty about that. And I'm sure that what Dana takes great pride in now is that show.
He does, yeah.
That he didn't compromise on. And to spend your life and then drop dead eventually and know that that was your legacy is a great thing. You know, Dana should be very proud of that. You know, and I'm sure he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, he got a lot of bad advice, I'm sure, at the time from a bunch of really radical comics like Louis C.K. But it was great information to have a show that now, 20 years later, 30 years later, they show on Hulu and do a documentary about. You know, how much of a legacy is that? I wish I had that legacy.
Yeah, most things are long forgotten after 30 years in TV.
Yeah. Well, people get a hold of me and say, we love that morning show you used to do. Boy, you were terrific, you know. And I'm going, yeah, that was then, this is now, you know. My favorite slogan, and I have it on my Facebook page, is I used to be a big shot. Which,
well, you know, you told me, like in this busy, you said everyone has their time.
You have your 5 minutes, you know, as Andy Warhol said once, that everybody someday will be famous for 5 minutes. And I think he was off by about a minute, but he had that one down. Because what he first...
But I think there's people that get really hot and famous for, they think there's so much shit coming up. They think this is going to last forever.
Mm-hmm.
So they're... Sadly,
it doesn't.
Proven wrong.
It doesn't, and you know, I'm proof positive of that. You know, we had the most talked about morning show in San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
and yet now, many years later, hardly anybody remembers it. You know,
well, we'll see.
I mean,
we'll see at the reunion.
Every now and then, some girl who took a picture with me at the studio will put a. picture up, and I'm going, I wonder what she looks like today. You know? Because we all fall apart. Come on.
Well,
you know?
The reunion show could be full of oxygen tanks.
That's what we should do. We should buy an oxygen tank and have it on stage in case anybody needs it.
That'd be hilarious.
You know? I come on in a wheelchair. You know,
free oxygen.
Lori's had cancer, so she can come on with like a colostomy bag or something like that. You know, we go, this is us today. Happy, 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 joy, joy. You know. And how are you doing, Bubs?
Park it, whore.
Park it, whore. If you can still drive. You know? I mean, it's just, it's amazing. It's amazing what time does to all of us. You know, here I am. I'm facing my 86th. My 86th birthday.
That's unbelievable to me.
It's unbelievable to me, too. You know, I'm always afraid of death and things like that, but then I sit there and I go, most people my age are dead. You know, maybe lost, you know. We lost Buster Keaton just recently. Oh, that was Diane Keaton, excuse me.
Diane Keaton.
We lost Diane Keaton.
79.
79, you know. And that's not young, okay? The average age of dying is like 77, you know.
Yeah.
So here I am going on to 86, and I'm complaining that I can't walk very well anymore. I don't know if I can drive, and whatever. Who cares? I'm still above ground body temperature, you know. Yeah. Or, you know. Anyway, hey, listen, it looks like we've run out of time here.
Yeah, well, it's good to hear. It's been a while. Good to hear from you.
Good to have you back, and we'll have you back again next week. Thanks, Bubs.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Hey.
Now, in its 11th year, this is GabNet. Talk like you've never heard it before.
And hello, everybody. Let me just turn up my earphones here so I can hear a little bit better. There we go. Hello there. How are you? Good to see all of you or hear from all of you or whatever. And there are a bunch of people waiting to come on here. And we were off last night. We'll be on again. I think we're probably going to do a show next Thursday. So we will be back on Thursday. We'll do a full 3 days. But let's see here how I'm feeling physically and mentally. The reason we've been off the last couple of weeks on Thursday is I kind of couldn't do a complete week. I had some medical stuff, as you know, and, you know, that stops us from doing it. And at our age, it happens more often than not, okay? Than not? Anyway, it's time to go out to see our people, and let's bring them in here. Let me see here. Admit all. And then I bring in that, so you can see all these people jumping in here. There's Kevin. We don't see him at this moment. There's Brian Neary, and there's Josh Wheeler. Hi, everybody. How are you? And Kevin will be with us in a moment. We're getting to see him empty out that house is what we're getting to see him do. Let me see here. How are you all doing?
Pretty good. Made it through another week.
Made it through another week. Okay. That's cool. Anyway.
That's the actual moon. That's the moon.
That's the actual moon out your window?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Wow.
My window's dirty. Yes.
That's nice. Brian Neary's window. Okay.
That's a light. That's the moon.
Oh, well, wait a minute. Where's the moon?
Right there.
That's right the there. That, which one? That's the moon.
Yes.
It's not the
that's
light.
That's the light.
That's the light, but that's the moon. Okay. Oh, boy. Anyway, how are y'all doing? Yeah? You happy these days about stuff? You know. You know what I we'll get to this in a second. I have been watching. They have these things on YouTube where they have questions from a complete week of Final Jeopardy. Now, how many here watch Jeopardy? Anybody?
I watched a little tonight.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me ask you this. Isn't Final Jeopardy absolutely ridiculously hard now? I mean, or is it just that I'm getting ridiculously stupid? Okay, I'll take that as an answer. Hello, Len. How are you?
Oh, my God. Len's up. Len's up.
Len.
Len's up this late at night, huh?
I know. I'm never home on Friday nights.
Oh, well, here you are. Here you are. You never do the nighttime show.
No, I'm never home.
Yeah.
He's always gallivanting in Livermore, all the wineries and restaurants.
And stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah. Well, good to have you, Len. Len is producing our show in San Francisco, that big show we're doing.
Yeah.
I'm going to have one of the people that's probably going to be appearing on the show here, staying here next week. Buddy Love.
I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be fun.
Buddy Love and his lovely wife are coming to stay with us.
Wow.
And he says he's probably going to be able to do it, right?
He says he's going to probably be able to do it, yep.
Yeah, okay, good. He has to check with his other musicians, but, you know.
Yeah.
It's only...
We're doing really well. It's going to be fun. I think we're going to fill the place up. I really do.
You really do? I don't think so.
Okay, well, let's have a little gentleman's bet. $1?
$1, yeah.
Okay.
Although I can probably bet you more than that, but...
I don't have that kind of money.
You don't have that kind of money. Okay. Well, no, the reason I don't know if we're going to fill it up is I have this theory. See, my theory is that people don't remember that well, you know, after this amount of time. And, you know, you ask anybody who Alex Bennett is in San Francisco, and for the most part, they're going to go, who?
Well, then I live in a different world than you because, I mean, I see a lot more people saying, oh, yeah, Alex, yeah, the guy from the morning show, yeah, he was great. You know, I mean, yeah. Did you see your feed? How many people said, oh, my God, I can't wait.
Yeah, but, you know, if they simply showed up, we'd have, like, 85 people.
Okay. Yeah, but we're gonna have 364 people there.
You say that? You say that?
Yeah. Wow.
And a half.
He's talking to all the people in the retirement community.
Is Adrian the half?
Huh? Is who?
I said
no. What did you say?
Go ahead, Ryan.
Who? Somebody said something.
I said a half and yeah. a half
and a half.
Len said, "Is Adrian the half?"
Oh yeah, yeah.
Can we? I think Len took a survey in the retirement community. They remember you.
Yeah, they remember me well, but they can't. They don't drive anymore. Well, anyway,
a lot of people in San Francisco moved away too.
Yeah,
San Francisco is not the same population as it was when you were around.
Yeah,
right.
No.
I just listened to you and Bubs, and so we're going to have the oxygen on stage, so we'll be fine.
Yeah, okay, good. What I was going to say is that, oh, yeah, I want to ask you a question. Does Cobb's Comedy Club allow people under the age of 18 in?
I haven't asked the question, but I'll ask it.
Ask it week. With their parent. With their parent.
Yes. Yep.
I was looking at their website the other day, and it looks like they give them a special armband or something, or stamp. And allow people that are 18 and over in, and
under.
That way they won't serve them.
Well, she's kind of 10, Alan.
Yeah, well, she's kind of 10, but
she
also looks like she's kind of 18.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, we'll drink before we go in. Don't worry.
That's usually the way you do it loves, when you're a kid, huh?
He loves nothing better than to get his daughter drunk.
Oh, jeez.
No, but she looks, I got to tell you, she looks like she's 18. I mean, she could pass for anything, you know.
I'm not going to jail behind this, I'm telling you right now.
Except don't have her open her mouth to talk, because then all of a sudden it comes out with 9-year-old gibberish, okay? But anyway, so. But she looks, you know, she could pass. Yeah, so anyway.
It's going to be a great show, and I have a lot. I think we're going to do really well.
Yeah, well, you're all jazzed up for it. I'd like to see us get 380 because then I get a real bonus out of that.
And yeah,
then I get to pay you something.
You know? I appreciate that, but we need to talk about it. I have a list of things you and I need to talk about next week, so I'll contact you.
Oh, really? I hope none of them are money.
No, none of them are money.
You know,
I thought
according to my original thing, everybody was going to get paid $1,000. And out of that, they could pay for their flight, you know.
Well, you and Laurie are going to get that. The others are going to get a slightly smaller stipend.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll leave it up to you to fight with the
All the money is taken care of. Well, good.
All the money is taken care of? Okay.
Yep, 100%.
Yeah.
Bubs has to pay for his flight for sure.
Well, Bubs is giving me a kick for that.
Yeah. I don't really need the money, you know, so right. I could give it to somebody else. You
and I need to talk about airfare. Well, we have a lot of stuff.
Airfare, yeah. But how
is that free airfare?
Are they going to pay them ahead of time, or are they going to pay them after they get their airfare?
I'm assuming after. After.
As long as we have airfare, as long as we have airlines.
Excuse me, folks. Right tonight now, we're just planning our show in San Francisco and doing all the business for it, you know.
Which is a month and a half away.
Huh?
Yeah. It's a month and a half
away. Yeah. It's more than a month and a half away. It's over two months away, 2.5 months away.
There's a lot of moving parts on this thing, I'll tell you what.
Huh?
I said, there's a lot of moving parts.
And I thank you for taking care of it. You know, you've taken a a big deal out of my what happened? Who did we lose?
I've been enjoying talking to some of these people. Oh. I haven't talked to Laurie Thompson in a million years, and it was nice to talk to her.
Yeah, we haven't we lost Kevin. Oh, what happened to Kevin? Anyway, how are you doing, Josh?
Doing good, thank you.
Yeah, everything. You happy with everything?
Yeah.
You know what I'm a little sick of, okay, is how everybody's going around saying, oh, what a great day for the Democrats. What a great day for the Democrats. Boy, the Democrats really pulled this one off. The Democrats didn't pull anything off. Am I right?
Yeah.
Individual Democrats pulled stuff off.
Yeah.
But the person who made these helped make these people win the most was Donald Trump. Yeah. It wasn't the Democrats getting together, because if they had any indication of the future and what this party needs, then they would be backing Mondani, and they weren't. They in fact, Schumer didn't. What's his name? Barack Obama didn't really come out for Mondani. Yeah, Mondani.
Bon Jovi instead.
Bon Jovi, yeah. But am I right? You know, none of the Democrats, yeah. None of the big Democrats, what's his name? The second to Schumer, what's his name? You know, he didn't.
From Illinois, what's his name?
Yeah. Who's the head of the, he's the leader of the, Congress, what's his title? Anyway, he didn't come out for Mondani. You know, none of these people did. I mean, you had the governor of New York came out for him, which was very good of her. I have a lot more respect for her. Who else came out for him? Hmm?
Bernie Sanders came out for him.
And Ocasio-Cortez came out for him. But that was it, you know. Otherwise, it was nobody. You know, so, I mean, the Democrats didn't do anything. All of them were too afraid to back Mondani because he calls himself a democratic socialist. You know, it really bothered me. So when they say, oh, the Democrats had a great night, you know, the Democrats didn't do it. In each case, the people ran a great campaign in their particular territories. In New Jersey, what's her name, won a great fight.
In New Jersey, is Mikey something.
Mikey Sherrill. Mikey Sherrill.
Sherrill, yeah.
She did a great job. And not only too great job, they thought it was going to be a close race. It wasn't even in the same zip code, you know. I mean, it was amazing how she did. So, I mean, all the wins were huge, and they had nothing to do with the Democrats getting behind any of these candidates. So, you know, I don't think the Democrats should be very proud of themselves. What do you think, Josh? You agree or disagree with me?
Well, I don't think they should really be proud. I mean, I think that it would be okay if they're, you know, pleased. You know, I mean, they did win seats, you know, that might have been more difficult, or in some cases they didn't have before.
They didn't win seats. They won, you know, races.
You know, yeah. Well, right. I mean, you know, governor, mansion seats, whatever, you know, whatever terminology you want to use. But you know, they did make some gains, so I don't think there's any reason for them to be, you know, down about it. I mean, those were positive things, but I would say that the way that they did so was more positive for them. They didn't focus, you know, as much on some of the things they had in the past, cultural things. They didn't focus nearly as much on, you know, Trump going to become a king or those sort of things. They focused on, you know, from what I saw, a lot more, you know, realistic things like affordability and pricing, you know, inflation, insurance.
Well, Mondani literally nailed the whole thing. I mean, he knew exactly what was needed in New York.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the messaging there around, you know, the daily expenses of people was very good. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know how much of his agenda he'll actually be able to put into place. You know, I don't know. There are some challenges. I think personally, you know, that the mayor's race there is just, I still tell you that outside of where you live, it's very driven by the media and they care, but not really outside of that. Not a lot of people.
Oh, I agree with you. I totally agree with you.
Interested in it.
But the fact is that even if he just tries to get those things done, we'll like him for it. You know?
Well, yeah.
I think he can get some things done. I think he can get the free buses. I think that's entirely well within the realm of possibility. I think not allowing rent stabilization to go higher is very doable. Yeah. I'm trying to think of what else is quite doable. There are most of the things he...
Yeah, he had some things, but, you know, I'm just saying I just see those fights for those things and all that is just very localized, but... You know, the governor's seats and things were a lot more telling, I think, because they kind of focused on a similar message with different ideas on how to do it in their states, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But so I guess the way that I would characterize it then is they kind of were in that same theme, right, or message, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, like I said, they had moved off of, you know, Trump is, you know, an evil dictator and all that. I mean, look, none of us like him. We agree on that. So I'm just saying they moved off a lot of that messaging. They moved and they didn't.
Oh, I think that themselves. I disagree with you. Mondani did a lot to put down Trump and to go after Trump.
Again, I'm not saying that he didn't, but I'm saying that. That harsh of a message against Trump would not have worked anywhere nearly the same if he were running for governor in Kentucky, for example, where there is a Democratic governor right now, but he's liked and can win by a few points. But if he were to run again with that message, I don't think that it would work out.
Well, no, I'm not saying that what worked here in New York will work everywhere. There are certain elements, though, of what worked in New York that will work elsewhere. And that is paying attention to what people in your area need. And what Mondani did was he looked out there and said, the rents are too high. The affordability of living in this city is out of whack, and I'm going to try and do something about that.
Yeah.
And I think that message anywhere else in the country would play as well.
Okay? Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with that. You know, I'm just, you know, that's what I'm saying is that, you know, the Democratic candidates who ran last week or who won last week or what, you know, this week, you know, that's what I'm saying is they were much more in that area of messaging than they were what we saw a while ago, which was a lot of just anti-Trumpness, that he will dismantle the government and make himself, you know, a god.
Well, news, you know? I hate to break it to you, but he has dismantled the government. So,
sure,
you know.
Right. But it's two different conversations. I mean, we're talking about how Democrats recover from losing elections badly that allowed him to take that power. So this, to me, was a little tiny step in that direction. I don't think it was nearly as big as some people think it was.
Mm-hmm.
As you indicated, you agree as well, because they still have a long way to go.
The Democrats, how do you feel about it, Charlie? the Democrats didn't really do anything, did they?
They didn't back the important races.
What?
They let Trump do it all. He kept opening his mouth and feeding the beast.
Yeah, we didn't have to say anything bad about him. Although, you know, everybody said, hey, you don't want Trump. Mondani said, we don't want Trump coming in here and trying to send the National Guard into our state, into our city, and we'll fight him if he does so. You know, and then he had a little message for Trump in his acceptance speech. Yeah. But, I mean, basically, he stuck on message. Every time you'd hear a debate, every time you hear anything, he stuck on message. Meanwhile, you had this Cuomo, who I used to love, and who, in fact, I voted for in the primary because I didn't know about this guy Mondani and what he was capable of and not capable of. And I hadn't listened to his message. And so I voted for Cuomo because of, you know, how he handled COVID. I respected him for that. But when he ran against Mondani in the final election, he was so racist. He was so bad that I couldn't even listen to the man. I mean, his concession was terrible. It was just terrible. All he had to do, a very easy way to handle that would have been, hey, I wish him a lot of well, you know, and if he needs my help, I'll be here to help. That's all he'd have to say, and everybody would love him. Goodbye, Andrew, and we'll see you later, you know. But his career is through now, the way he handled all this. He was racist right up to the end. And that did not play well in New York City, because you've got a city here full of people who are, you know, of different ethnic persuasions. So, you know, he didn't even know the town that well, okay? He's been away from it for so long. Hey, look who's there. Bree is there. Where is Bree? Bree, are you waiting to take a train?
No, I'm waiting to take the Grab taxi. It's like our Uber.
Oh, okay. Where are you going? Home?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I already had lunch because you guys are an hour behind now. Hello.
Oh, yeah, look, yeah.
Yeah, it was daylight savings time.
The ruining is lunch.
Yeah.
No, you don't have to ruin it. I'm already done.
Yeah. So anyway, so what did you hear anything about our elections here?
I watched it on YouTube. So I saw all those things. I really liked the AI ad that Cuomo had. That was funny.
What do you mean the AI ad?
Oh, you didn't see that?
No.
Yeah, Cuomo's team had a...
Okay.
Generate an ad.
Yeah.
Just look it up on YouTube. You won't believe it. It was outrageously. It was the most negative attack ad that you could have ever seen in your life.
How do you know he did it?
Oh, it was tied. It came from his office.
Really? Okay. I'll have to go look at it. I mean, he did some terrible stuff.
Well, they said they did a trial balloon of it, and the backlash was so much that they pulled it right away.
Yeah, well, you know, Cuomo didn't do anything right in this campaign, okay? The only thing was there were just a bunch of Jews who believed he was anti-Semitic, which is a total fabrication. You know, it was the kind of lies that were spread about this guy that were just not true. And
if Cuomo hadn't been in the race... Would Mondami have won by 90% or something?
Something probably like that, yeah. Yeah, but he got over 50%. That's a mandate. So that's pretty good. Yes,
Jeff.
Good. I'm glad you remember my name.
I'm glad you remember mine. Let me put it that way.
I'm working on it.
Yeah.
I was very impressed that a long percent of the people who voted or younger people.
Mm-hmm.
And also, when the younger people, they were decided already who they wanted to vote for. But they didn't necessarily have to attach that to a Republican or a Democrat. I don't think they were that concerned about that the Democrat was part of, that you have to put their name together and the Democrat together. So I think it really helped him a lot. And it was, he won not because he was a Democrat, but it was because of the way he operated, the way people thought tremendous, that he was incredibly smart, that all the things that he was talking about.
It's also funny, by the way.
Benefit
very
them.
Funny. Yeah. Had a great sense of humor.
Yeah.
And I always like that in a politician. I don't like it when they take themselves seriously 24/7, you know? But anyway.
One thing good, the new mayor of San Francisco, he's been on social media a lot. Is it Ernie?
Was there a new mayor elected in San Francisco? We didn't even hear about that.
What's his name? Lori.
Yeah. And, not this last election, I mean before, but he's been going around on social media to all the, like, small businesses and stuff like that. And, you know, trying to revitalize San Francisco. But yeah, he's been doing a lot of good stuff. It's pretty good to see that mayor out there. And
wasn't he the one that called Trump and told him not to send anybody in here? And Trump went along with him?
Yeah. You know that the guy is an heir to the Levi fortune.
Oh, really?
He's got a lot of money. And Trump probably figured, if I don't send him there, and maybe he'll contribute money to my campaign, even though he's a Democrat.
Well, I don't think so, but, you know. But
he's got a lot of money.
Yeah, I think it was, you know, I mean, let me ask, because we do have a couple people here from California. So let's talk for a second about, was it Prop 20?
50
or whatever it was called. How do you feel about that passing?
Good.
I have two feelings about it. One is the amount of money it cost us to run that special election is absolutely ridiculous, $30, $40 million. And it's all to fight him. It has nothing to do with anything else but fighting Donald Trump. And
No, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, no. I mean, in Texas, they just changed the law. They did whatever, and they added five new seats. Here, we actually went to the trouble of getting an election going, and we passed it, and now we're going to get the five seats or whatever to match that. But why do we have to do that? It's ridiculous.
It was important that it was done.
Sure.
Because what they did in Texas was really totally illegal. You're not supposed to do that except when there's a new census.
Every 10 years.
Every 10 years. And they did it without doing that. And they did it without taking a vote of the people. At least in this case, it was a vote of the people. Okay?
It's amazing that we have to spend the time and energy to do this, to fight that son of a bitch.
Yeah, but I mean, the fact of the matter was there was a reason to do it, and that was that it was 100%. To counteract what was going on in Texas, you know. 100%. So
anyway. It was an expensive counter, I think, is what Lynn's saying.
Yes, I agree.
It cost a lot of money. Mm-hmm. To gerrymander part of the
We could use that money for a lot more important things.
Yeah, it would have been nice if you were doing an election for other stuff as well. Then it would have been worth the money.
Like fix the roads in the Bay Area.
Or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, or something. Yeah. You know, but I mean, it certainly wasn't, here's Kevin trying to join twice. What is his... Okay, let me see here. There comes Kevin. Okay, what is the other Kevin? What was the other Kevin?
Are you doing that again?
What?
No, he's not doing that again.
No, I said, what was the other Kevin?
He what looks like the Tony.
There's another Kevin trying to join.
Oh, that's probably my Zoom is all fucked up. It decided it was going to do an update, and then I'm trying to change it. Yeah. And this computer I'm using is about
updated every month.
Crap.
Yeah. What do you mean they update it every month? They update it every week or minute.
Yeah, but you know, I've been ignoring it because I don't want to deal with it.
Bring in the other Kevin. We might like him better.
You know who updates? You know who updates it just an incredible amount. I got a new PC, and I got Microsoft 11. The number of times in a given week that they update that program is insane.
Because it's a shit program right now, from what I'm hearing.
That's right. I don't know. I can't figure it out.
They're forcing everybody to it.
Hmm?
Mm-hmm.
What?
They're forcing everyone because the updates for Windows 10 are ending.
Yeah.
Ended. Ended.
I hate it when they do that, too. I hate it when Apple does it. About every 5 years, 6 years, they will suddenly make a version of their Mac OS suddenly not work on the new computers, on the old computers, rather. And mm-hmm. I hate when they do that. At least, you know, do something to keep the one we are using up to date, you know?
Yeah.
Some don't get paid for that.
Some people had a powerful enough computer that they could upgrade to Windows 11 for free.
All right.
Well, I just bought a new computer.
Yeah, I got one.
I bought a new computer. This thing was like $1,100, and it doesn't have any ability, okay, for me to input audio. For me to input audio.
Well, that's crazy.
You gotta build your own.
Huh?
Just build your own, Alex. It's
doesn't
so easy.
Make sense.
Build my own. I went out and got something to plug in there to the USB port that takes an input from the audio, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work.
Well, if it's a dongle, you'd want the card in there.
There's no card. This thing doesn't take cards. It's a small one.
Then it has to be built into the motherboard.
I know.
Yes.
So what am I paying $1,100 for?
Take it back.
Take it back. I'd have to send it back. What the hell?
$5 more and get the one with the plug-in.
Well, I don't understand it.
I don't get it either.
It should work.
So you can't plug a microphone into it?
No, it has to. If it takes anything, it will take my my microphone from my camera, and that it USB. Will. It will accept is a USB weird. Input from a microphone in a headpiece.
That's
okay,
weird.
That you stick into the earphone jack.
How about Bluetooth?
What do you mean Bluetooth? Now you
can
what
you
do you
use Bluetooth on your microphone?
No, I don't have Bluetooth on anything here.
You don't want to rely on Bluetooth for the show.
No, not for the show.
But they do make a device that goes into the USB that converts to XLR. I have one of those at home.
XLR?
Yeah, I run an old Dynamic Sennheiser microphone.
Yeah, but I mean, I want to put in audio from my audio deck.
Well, you could do that too. It's the same idea.
I've done it, and it doesn't work. You know.
But what was the brand? I have Alktron.
You have what?
Alktron brand, and it works.
Where do they make that? In your part of the neck of the woods, there in Malaysia?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, Bree, just go over his house. Just go over his house real quick and help him out. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, July. I'll be there in July.
Okay. You'll be here in July. Fix it for me. Tony. Tony's here. Hi, Tony.
I was happy, too, with the mayor election.
Hey, Tony.
Yeah. You're happy, too, right?
Yeah, Alex, I couldn't take
it. What are you, a communist?
Exactly. You know what? If I'm a socialist, I love it. Maybe my brother said, we need more of it. He goes, these people need... And, you know, I don't know. I am so sick with these food stamps for Trump. I really hope he dies tonight, this guy.
Holding no, food don't say that. That's,
I don't know. It's disgusting, really.
I wish a lot of things about Trump, but I don't want him to die tonight. Tomorrow morning, maybe, but not tonight.
I mean, but how do you hold back food from people who need it?
Well, of course, you know, the worst part was a federal court told him, no, you have to give the money out. And then he went to court to try and stop
That's
it.
My brother
How
said,
do you go to court to stop feeding people?
Me and my brother were at the diner, and he said, I don't want to tell you what happened. He says he went to court, and he says, who does this? I says, turn your phone off. He makes you lose your supper, really, this guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, it definitely makes you lose your supper. You can't lay your hands on your supper.
But people who vote, people who are voting for him, this is affecting them too, and they're still going to vote for him.
Oh, they're, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. A lot of them.
I think it's affecting the red states more than the blue states.
A lot of them are turning against him. Really? Unless they're still believing that it's the Democrats that are causing this.
Oh, sure it is.
That's what they're believing. Yeah.
When it isn't. Okay.
Well.
You know.
I'm so glad they never voted for this guy. I'm so glad.
Well, my question, Alex, is at what point, like in where it goes, you know, like in a baseball season where they don't have enough, they just call the season. Like, do we just call the government?
I guess, you know, I mean, but this is ridiculous. And they keep saying, oh, well, you know, it's the Democrats that are keeping you from getting those. No, it's not. Look how easily tonight or today Trump got the food stamps going. My God, where did that money come from?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he's just trying to do everything to make the Democrats look bad. And it's just making the Republicans look bad. Would you disagree with that, Josh?
I mean, no, probably not. I mean, Democrats can just remain to have the government shut down. Like I said before, the majority of the people that, you know, are on the services that they're talking about are people who overwhelmingly voted for Trump and his top supporters. So I wouldn't be too concerned about returning some of those.
Yeah, but there are a lot of other people who didn't vote for him who are also getting, you know, food stamps and getting, you know, health taken care of.
I'm sure that there are people, but I think the numbers are much lower than.
But
than you guys think.
Yeah, but you know, the only thing is if they're watching Fox, they believe it's the Democrats that's preventing them from getting this, and all the Democrats are standing up for is they want the Medicaid to be in existence. Right. What's the other thing?
Affordable health care.
The extensions.
Yeah, the Affordable Care Act. They just want at least people to be able to have health care. That's all. It's over.
Yep.
And the Democrats should just go out there and say, hey, do the reverse. Say the Republicans don't want you to have health care.
Chuck Schumer said that today. He said,
it's about time.
I know, yeah. I'm a little leery. You're right.
The benefits.
I wouldn't want him cutting any deals, Schumer.
You, what were you going to say, Josh?
I mean, you know, the benefits were cut drastically by Republicans earlier this year, and that has not taken effect yet. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Democrats should not be in any hurry to help them get these things back. You know, the number one district in the United States of America for SNAP benefits, I mean, the absolute top district where almost 50% of the homes receive some sort of SNAP benefits, their congressman is the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. Hmm. I mean, you know, and the Washington Post is down there walking around today asking people what they think. And they're still saying, well, we're not quite ready to blame Speaker Johnson or Trump, but we're just not sure why they're not using their power to help us out more. You know, so they're almost there, but they're not quite there because they're just not, I'm sorry, but they're just not up to date or educated on these things and how it works. And in the past, when we've had problems, Democrats and everybody, you know, they get worried about trying to make sure that no one goes without or no one suffers any or that there are no consequences. And if that continues to happen, people are never going to learn. I mean, if you continually do something over and over again and I never punish you for it or make you pay for it, if there's never any consequence to it ever, you will never stop that behavior. So if Democrats would like to see these people stop continually voting blindly for Republicans because they lambast things and they say stupid things and they think it's cool or whatever, then there has to be consequences. Mm-hmm.
The Daily Show, what was it yesterday? I think they had the line that, you know, they're going to pass this thing before Mike Johnson goes into puberty.
I mean, they don't, you know, they're not thinking ahead. And Trump is not, you know, wise on these things. I mean, get rid of the filibuster and do everything we want to do. And I say, well, okay, good. Maybe they will. And then when they don't have any power in about a year, maybe, you know, and Democrats can roll in and pretty much do whatever they want. You know, I mean, that will come back to hurt them. So they don't.
Did they change that congressperson from? There was a congressperson, I think, from Arizona. Did they seat that person? There was a
they haven't. Yet. Nope.
Not yet.
They still haven't.
They still haven't.
See, at a certain point, but can't there? You know, in other systems, you can dissolve the Congress. You could, you know what I mean? They need to be dissolved.
Sure. Well, they need. I don't know what they can do. To tell you the damn truth, I mean, the whole country.
Can't a judge swear her in? I thought that a judge could.
That's
swear
what
her
they
in.
Wanted to. That's what they said they were going to do. But what he's doing.
What isn't she suing them now? I think she's. She's litigating them now.
Alan, you want to say something?
Yeah, Mike Johnson's from Louisiana, isn't he?
Yeah.
Probably one of the stupidest states in the country.
Yes.
But I'll tell you, maybe the stupidest state in the country, but they got the best food and the best music.
I lived there for a couple of years. It's not that great.
No, really? I mean, the food's great.
Have obviously voted for people who are hurting their daily life. So that's what they – I mean, I guess what I'm saying is there's nothing wrong with the system. This is the people that they chose. The American people chose these people. They chose this chaos, you know. So that's what I keep saying. And every time they do stupid things, politicians bail them out. They have to stop. I mean, if they would just start – letting people exercise their will, and then if they would execute that will, things would change. But what they do is they, Democrats traditionally have been the ones who will do it. They will see that someone's going to suffer a little bit, and they will do things to alleviate it, which is really cool, which is really nice, you know, which is the right thing to do. But then all it does is enable that behavior to continue. You know, I see you and you're a drug addict and you don't have any drugs and you're suffering and you're shaking and you're in pain and you just need a little bit more. And I give you some drugs. Is that helping you or hurting you? I mean, you know, on the surface, it's helping you, right? But
long term,
it's not. You know, and Trump, you know, get rid of the filibuster. That's because he wants to win the news cycle today, because that's all he cares about. You know, he doesn't care that 2 years from now, if Democrats take power in the same way, you know, voila, my student loans can finally be forgiven. That'll be it's outstanding. So that's what I'm saying. Trump, you know, get rid of the filibuster. That's because he wants. I mean, you know, so they just have to. As I've said this, you know, last 2-3 weeks or whatever, Democrats just have to just wait. Just sit around and just wait. There's nothing. They don't need to do anything. You know, House has only been in session, you know, 12 days, I think, since July. You know,
It's ridiculous. That's
what Johnson's doing. You know, I mean, Democrats don't have anything to do with that. You know, so, I mean, they have their little pro forma session or whatever. That doesn't really count. They only do that for constitutional reasons. But they haven't been in session. They won't seat the new House member because if they seat the new House member and then they call themselves into session, they have enough votes to read the Epstein files on the House. You know, they don't want to do that, you know. So, you know, I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene came out and said today that the next time they have a session – when it's her turn to talk, she's going to read the names of everyone in the Epstein files that's a government employee. And they can't do anything about it or sue her for slander because her speech is protected when she's on the House floor. You know, she has immunity.
When has Marjorie Taylor Greene suddenly become a good idea?
Yeah, and she was on The View too. Alex.
That's how fucked up things are.
Yeah, that's how screwed up things
are. Realized that
because she wanted to run for Senate.
Yeah, and then AOC said.
The thing that they are,
but then she said later she didn't want to go there anyways.
Because she comes from a district that's very similar to Mike Johnson's, where she sees that if the Affordable Care Act subsidies are canceled, that a lot of people in her district are going to not have health insurance anymore.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Including her kids.
You know.
Yeah, what were you going to say, Tony?
And that was Phil's favorite member.
And she has an outside media presence.
You're breaking up on us, Bree.
You're breaking up.
Yeah, and you're talking right over Tony. Mm-hmm. Okay, anyway. Tony, talk.
Tony, what were you saying?
Oh, remember how Phil always loved Marjorie Taylor? He must hate her now, Alex.
No, he still likes her.
Really? I don't know about
really?
That.
Really? How does he?
Starts naming names. I don't think.
I said a couple weeks ago or a week ago. I said I understand Marjorie Taylor Greene, your favorite girlfriend, is going against Trump. He says, that's what the liberal media wants you to believe. I'm like,
oh, Jesus.
It's all over the news, Phil. <I'm winning.
laughs> So he's going to believe whatever the Fox media wants him to believe?
He always follows the party line.
Well, I mean, she's no friend to the speaker, and she knows that the Epstein issue that, you know, I mean, I don't care about it. I'm just saying this is her thinking, and it's you know, not that bad, is that she doesn't like the speaker. And this Epstein thing, for whatever reason, is something that she cares about, and a lot of other people do too. And now that the report was, you know, given out to the members of Congress or whatever through all those things that they did, you know, even though he won't call the House into session, because one of the things they want to vote on is not just the government shutdown thing, it's the Epstein files being released to the public. You know, she has said that if he won't hold a vote to release him to the public, she will just go on the floor of the House and read him. Mm-hmm. You know, and like I said, and again, she's protected with immunity to where she cannot, you know, she could literally read in there that, you know, Alex Bennett is on the list. And even if there's no proof of it, it doesn't matter. I knew it.
I got you my bingo card. I didn't have you put out. I had you for the CIA.
Yeah, well, I mean,
you know, it's that. That's how.
There isn't literally a list of.
Is it really?
On the Epstein files? There are names of people who may have done things. Okay. You know.
I would love to know.
I just know what she has said. You know, she has said
is that Prince Andrew lost his title.
Yeah.
Or one of my good friends would be on that list, Bobby Slayton, because he knew Epstein.
Well, she has indicated that there are government officials, current government officials, who are in the files in a malicious way, not as an associated, not that they were interviewed by the FBI or anything, that there are malicious facts about current government officials. And that is
why.
You know, the speaker doesn't want it out. Yeah. You know,
let him come out. Let him talk.
See. Yeah.
And if you took the plane to the island, you weren't there for some.
I mean, I don't know if she's trustworthy on that or not. I mean, you know,
well, I got news for you. On that island, there were two sets of places to stay. There was Epstein's villa. And then there was another villa on the island where guests could stay. Now, it's a question of whether you stayed in Epstein's villa or not. If you Clinton went there, and he stayed in the other one.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh,
they had a 10 kilometer walk.
If you fly to the island, there's an expectation, I think. I think there was an expectation if you flew to the island.
Yes. I mean, it's clever enough of her to put this kind of pressure, you know. I mean, this thing has been tried before. You know, I don't think people realize, but before all of it went to the press, this is how Daniel Ellsberg tried to get the Pentagon Papers out. Was he took it to a couple senators and said, if I give you these papers, will you just stand on the floor and read them? You know, because senators have unlimited time. You know, and, you know, he said you can't be prosecuted for reading a government secret. You know, I mean, so, I mean, but nothing, you know, that they wouldn't do it. So, you know, that's when he leaked it to the New York Times. But, you know, that's basically what she has said she's going to do was that. So, I mean, we'll see, you know, I don't know, but, you know, she's hedged on the healthcare thing, you know, again, because of her district. You know, they've, you know, the same thing with this, the SNAP and all that. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that voted to gut it, you know, just a few months ago. And now that people aren't getting it, they're walking around acting like they actually care about, you know, the 48 million people who get to you, who depend on these things. Oh, now suddenly you guys care, you know? I mean, like I said, Democrats should just stay in Washington. They should do their work. They should keep their head down.
Why don't they show up in Congress?
We don't believe in this. We're not voting for it.
Why don't they show up in Congress?
Well, the House isn't calling themselves.
No, but I see that room, and it's empty. Mm-hmm. They should be sitting in those seats saying, we're here. We're ready to go. Where are the Republicans?
Well, I want to dissolve Congress. I want us to say today, there is no Congress. They don't do anything, and so it's over. It's done. Hmm. We just move on from here. And then, Trump can executive order everything.
Then what do? We don't have three co-equal.
We don't have that now. The Supreme Court is Republican. The White House is Republican. The Congress is effectively Republican. The Senate is Republican.
So should we just revolt? Maybe that's a good idea.
Anarchy is probably better than the system
at
as
this
it currently
point.
Stands.
I would
it's
agree.
It's so
with
boring to only have two choices when there are so many issues that are multi-pronged. Like that we have two parties is just ludicrous. It's ridiculous.
Oh, you're right. You're absolutely right.
I'm all for no parties now, actually.
I want popular vote.
Yeah. I've always been that way.
I think that, you know, Trump can just executive order everything.
That's
you know, where we're at anyway. Yeah. So, just let it happen.
Yeah. So, anyway, you know, it's weird. It's strange. Let me ask you something, Len. Len is usually on our Monday show. Pretty different here, isn't it, Len?
Yeah, this is very eye-opening. I mean, I listen to you guys, but it's interesting to be here and talk about this because we never talk about politics.
We hardly ever do. We do on a certain limited level.
Yeah, this is broadcast in Livermore?
Yes. What's that?
This show's broadcast in Livermore. Yeah, wow.
It all the way here in Livermore, yes.
Yeah, I hear you on the Monday show after the fact.
Now, I want to ask Brian something. Brian, have you gotten a job yet?
He's frozen.
No. No, but you know what? Yeah, Mass, it's... you know, these days, it's hard to get through now. I think I got lucky when I was looking for this job like 6 months ago. I had like three jobs I was interviewing for and I was going into the factory.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I'm trying different things now. I'm trying AI and I'm trying to use a couple different tools to sort of manipulate my resume a little bit because I think AI starts screening a lot of stuff. Yep. Now I think these companies are using AI.
Air traffic controller. You apply for that air traffic controller position. I got news for you.
Hey, Brian, I told Alex to pick him up at the airport in the McLaren when he comes here. So
McLaren's gone, so it'll have to be the Lyric.
Oh, is the McLaren gone?
You sold it? Yeah, he sold it.
Both of them?
Bye-bye.
Did you have two?
What is this world coming to?
I think you only
had
one.
I had two for like a month, but then I sold that one.
If you lived in the Bay Area
and
drove on the freeways in the Bay Area, the McLaren bottoms out every 4 feet.
Damn.
I knew the U.S. economy was bad, but I didn't think it was so bad that a guy can't have two McLarens.
Let me just ask you one question here to everybody. How do you
my Facebook. You'll see my new car anyways.
How do you feel that if Elon Musk makes certain benchmarks, he's going to get $1 trillion from his company, from Tesla.
I think they rejected sovereign wealth funds.
Nobody should be allowed to get that rich, okay? And if they get that rich, give a ton of it back to us, okay?
Well, he's got to pay alimony. If he paid his legitimate alimony, he'd be a lot poorer than that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the new mayor is talking about rent, lowering rents. I think what they ought to lower it to is $1 a square foot, and everybody, even if they're on other contracts, pays that. So if you have a 500-square-foot apartment, you pay $500. If you have a 2,500, you pay $2,500. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. That would affect you.
That would affect me. I'm not for that. I'm one of those people that I think, I don't think I'm wrong in saying this, I think I have the cheapest rent on the island of Manhattan.
I would agree with that. For the size of apartment you have? Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Other than somebody homeless.
Well, somebody homeless is a different story.
It only took you 10 years in court to get it.
Yeah.
It took us 10 years in court. Took us about, I say, if you took all the money we spent, which was about $130,000, you could spread that out. It would have been about an $1,800 a month rent, but now we have that,
Amortized.
Here's the fun part. I got to tell you something. There's something called the Department of Housing, DHCR, something and something. And they're in charge of looking at complaints on people who rent apartments and so on. So we complained in the beginning that our guy wasn't giving us the rent that we were supposed to have, and he wasn't reporting the rent we were supposed to have. And finally he did start sending us that, but we sent 4 years ago, I think my lawyer filed an 80-page brief with all the things showing that these guys owed us this money. Do you know when we finally got something back from them?
4 years.
Month ago.
Last month.
Back with interest, Alex? So they should give me interest, right? Or
No. It had nothing to do with that. So then they said, have you solved the problem so far? And if so, send us a copy of the lease. Yep. So I said, yes. Jesus. And I sent them a copy of the lease. But come on. You should have taken care of this 3.5 years ago.
Yeah.
At least you can contact your landlord, Alex. I can't reach mine.
I forgot.
I've got an agent I don't want to deal with.
I forgot, folks. We need to play the theme because we're running out of time. Thanks, Charlie. Wake up. Thanks, Charlie.
You're welcome.
Thanks to Brian Neary. Thanks to Josh Wheeler. Jeff, thank you. Len LaFrisco, you're doing a great job there, pal. Alan, thank you for joining us. Bree, wonderful to see you from Malaysia. When you have the guts to come back here, let us know. By the way, the president was there. Trump was there in Kuala Lumpur, wasn't he? Yeah.
Yep.
We'll talk to you about that next time. Tony, thank you. And Kevin, thank you. And everybody, give a big wave goodbye, and I'll give a big wave goodbye at you. Okay? There they go, ladies and gentlemen. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. There we go. Goodbye. Goodbye, everybody. Hey, listen, we got the intersection next with Amy Manuel, and she'll be taking your calls on Zoom. Her phone number, or the number you call to get on her Zoom, is on our gabnet.net page, and it's in the third column, and there's a whole list down there at the bottom of the third column of various shows and how you can get in touch with them. I'll see you again on Monday with the pop-up show, and then we'll see you again a week, next Wednesday. Same time, same station in life. In the meantime, as always, if you see her, tell her I love her, okay? Bye-bye.